Hello, we are not available now. Please leave your name and phone number after the beep. We will return your call.
Hey, huge fan. Been following for a while. Just have a quick question. By any chance, are you former Ravens Super Bowl MVP Joe Flacco?
For the 212th time, I'm not Joe Flacco. This is not Joe Flacco, the podcast. Broncos country. Could have tied.
Could have tied. That's right.
Could have tied. Broncos country. Denied.
Broncos God, country. It's... Kick a field goal.
They... I ended up enjoying that game.
I mean, out of pure like this, it's so bad, it's good.
Definitely shade and fraud. Like, I'm glad people are miserable. The looks on the faces of the people in the stands, the abject failure of that offense was just fucking perfect.
I'm stoked it was the Thursday night game because this is what people want to see. Best game of the year. And it's like, you know, my dick was hard for 4 hours and then, you know, you figure it would go soft after 4 hours, but then we get... They tease next week's game, which was what the Commanders and
Bears
and the Bears. So,
yeah. Well, there's a bunch of stuff going around right now about just stop putting the Broncos in prime time because they had the Monday night game to open the season. They had the Sunday night game in week three against the Niners, which they won 11-10. And then week five, they had Thursday night game. But guess what day of the week they play on next week?
Fuck.
Monday night.
No way.
We have another Broncos primetime game next week. Four of their first six games are in primetime.
Jesus. This has got to be destroying that guy. Russell Wilson, he's got to be.
Wilson?
Yeah, these are just nonstop torturous games to watch in prime time. I mean, some of the worst football I've seen in years. Like,
it's the best. It is just the best all around possible. I mean, I'm so happy right now.
Like, they're like bad, like worst since like 2012 or 13, I think I've seen. Like, they're really bad on offense.
The Broncos. I mean, you have this defense that's really good. And I mean, I don't think I've watched a bunch of Denver games for some reason.
Because they're all in prime time.
I know. That's what he was saying. But like, these games are the most painful games I've ever watched.
No problem taking a nap tonight. Like,
right.
Fucking dude, I hit the sweet spot, right? From like, you know, end of first quarter to like basically middle fourth. Good nap.
I tainted my own. So on the Monday pod, I'm like, guys, I'm really hating posting memes. It's tough, you know. I prefer the podcast. I even TikTok is better. And I put my own taint on my lack of love for posting memes. Cause tonight just was throwback. It felt like 2018, 2017 all over again. I felt reborn. That team is. Okay, so let me start here. Vic Fangio got such a raw fucking deal. The list of quarterbacks that he had to run that team with is fucking putrid. Like, Trevor Siemian and Paxton, Kendall Hinton. They started the Kendall Hinton game. They actually started a running back. They started in the Wildcat. So Philip Lindsay actually got the start. Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Locke. And then they fire him and trade for Russell Wilson. And this just feels like good karma.
Right.
It feels like you didn't give this guy a shot. He had a top tier defense. They played hard for him, but he just never had a quarterback. And they fired him anyways. Bring in Nathaniel Hackett.
And the only reason they brought him in was because they thought they could bring Rodgers. Like, that's the only reason they hired that guy.
Right. Well, that was Fitzpatrick on the post game. These guys are really good, the post game. It's not like it's pretty choppy because they're not, you know, that good at it. But to hear all of their perspectives, and they're pretty blunt and honest, the Amazon crew,
they were torching them tonight. Yeah.
Well, Tony Gonzalez was lighting Russell Wilson on fire. But Fitzpatrick said, you know, you have two coaches that came from the Packers tree, right? You have name tonight? You have Hackett and who else is like doing very poorly this year?
Shit.
As a rookie head coach, they came from there too. But he was just saying, like Aaron Rodgers got those guys jobs, and look where Aaron Rodgers is, and look where those are. You know, more hats off to how good Aaron Rodgers is.
Right. But, do you know that Russell Wilson's the offensive coordinator for Russell Wilson has never gotten a head coaching job?
Okay.
Just, you know, just throwing that out.
How many has he had?
What's that?
How many has he had?
A bunch. I will look it up. You guys fill some air, but I will absolutely look this shit up right now.
Yeah, I mean, well, the more you have, probably the worse chances, right? That means if they're moving, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I guess they're not moving up, but they're moving laterally.
His run in Seattle was a successful run. You know, and it was really funny watching Sherman respond to that final play. really hit a nerve.
Dude, he is just
on multiple levels. Like the Gilmore thing where Sutton like stood up and did the fucking basketball taunt that you're too small for me to Stephon Gilmore, like,
right, who's not small,
who's not small, and is also a reigning, you know, maybe not reigning, but like defensive MVP. Fucking player of the year.
Yeah.
And then Gilmore comes back and breaks up, I think, two passes in the last like minute and a half or something.
Yeah,
definitely the fourth, you know, end of the game with one on fourth down. So
those Patriots defensive backs really hurt Russell Wilson on the goal line, don't they?
Dude, he just looks like shit, man. He looks like an alcoholic. Like, he's got that second chin going now.
You know what
I think? I think a thick 48-year-old man. He just looks like...
He may not be as terrible of a human being that I originally thought he was. I think he's just... He's kind of a kid. He's just like a... Right. He's one of those sports nerds we talk about that knows nothing other than playing sports and is completely socially awkward and doesn't actually know how to deal with people. But because he's good at sports, it's carried him. And now he's struggling. And you can see it.
I'm not going to let you take back any of the things you've said about him.
But, I mean, you know, that whole city puts him on a pedestal. And he comes out with the Let's Ride shit. And everybody's eating him. There's no way he doesn't see that. There's no way he doesn't see how everybody's calling him out as being, you know, cringe, as the kids say. And that's getting to him. And he's definitely not getting any love in Denver, that's for sure.
He
motherfucker's leaving that game. Leaving that game going into overtime in Denver, which is a pretty good city for sports.
It's a good football town, and you know,
let's be more specific. Their fans like their team. They support them relatively rapidly. That's a good
sport. I mean, you know, they
now whether they're tolerable
58-year sellout streak or some shit, like, it's not Jacksonville that people are walking out of the stadium. but they right. have this is in the three primetime games they've scored like a total of 36 points.
It's been extraordinarily painful to watch that team. And even though there is like that aspect of like, you know, it was entertaining to watch Russ cook, and he's not even using a mic. He's not even using a microwave right now.
Yeah, dude can't make a bowl of cereal, man.
It's like, Russ, this is raw chicken. You can't serve this to people.
That's right. Dude, it's pretty funny to hear Tom Brady say how bad the games have been this year, and then that's the game that we see next.
Right, like 5 hours later. So the Seahawks offensive coordinator, Daryl Bevel, who has been around there a while, Brian Schottenheimer, another Brian Schottenheimer season, another Brian Schottenheimer season, Shane Waldron, and now it's Shane Waldron. So he's had Daryl Bevel, Brian Schottenheimer, and Shane Waldron. And
Bevel never got a head coaching gig? Not for Bevel the Lions?
Never got a head coaching gig.
Not even a interim coach?
Did he get the interim? Was he interim coach under Urban?
Maybe.
He's new this year? No.
No, I'm talking about the offensive coordinators for Russell Wilson gotten a head coaching job. And right. Bevel, I think, is the only one, and he might have.
But he's still there.
If he got it, it was because he was interim. And he was an interim twice. Looks like twice in Detroit and in Jacksonville. That doesn't count, though.
I remember him being a coach in Detroit. That sounds right.
So he's a coach killer. He's a career killer if you're his offensive coordinator. He's now murdering the season for the Denver Broncos. I just texted you guys the picture. I think it was a training camp picture. But one of you was just talking about, you know, he's got the extra chin. He's just looking a little soft. Like, that is a pudgy quarterback.
Yeah.
That is a dad bod.
He does not look like a shortstop. He looked like a shortstop when he came into the league. Now he looks like a catcher.
Yes. Oh, so yeah. So I feel terrible for Vic Fangio in all this. Although if I'm him, I'm watching this with just utter glee.
We need to bring Trevor back in.
The Broncos. So I got curious because I'm like, man, Russ's stats just don't look. They don't look great right now. And so I looked it up, and then I was like, well, these are terrible because he's on pace for 13 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. So I'm like, God, are these better or worse than last year?
But how many touchdowns do you have? Like, he's got less than five, right?
And we lost Doug. He's got four touchdowns in five games.
He's got four?
Four.
Wow. Okay. I didn't think they scored any in the first two games, right? Something bananas like that. Like,
yeah. I mean, this is not.
They haven't scored more than 21 points.
And remember, we're waiting for Russ to have his second half meltdown. Like, we haven't even gotten to second half meltdown, Russ.
Right. We even haven't gotten to. The dropping off at the end of the year, Russ.
We haven't gotten to Call of Duty, Russ, yet.
It's extended, Russ. I think that's what's happening. Maybe it's the elevation.
Maybe he's like anemic or something.
He's used to like the thick air in Seattle.
Well, yeah, he's carrying like a few extra pounds. He's got a little gut on him now, and you know, can't fuck like he used to at elevation, bro.
There's an adjustment period when you move up to those mountains, I'll tell you that.
Oh, 100%.
I did it. I lived there for a year.
It's an adjustment period coming back from there.
Yeah.
Especially if you've been drinking. Drinking at altitude.
The drinking part.
Drinking at altitude, or I shouldn't say this, being hungover at altitude is a million times worse than being hungover in the desert. Like those are both places that you need to prepare yourself if you're going to indulge.
There's times,
it's you get dried out so much easier. Yes. Like, yeah,
and you just need to hydrate so much. But like the feeling of being super hungover and dehydrated at elevation is like the worst.
Is it worse than watching Colts Broncos?
You know what? If this game was a feeling, that would be it.
Oh my God, it was so good.
Just make it stop. And like literally, it's like I'm sitting there because, you know, I'm trying to figure out a way to win my pick. Because I, like a fucking idiot, I switched. I had Indy in Pick'em, both my Pick'ems. And at the last minute, I'm like, you know what? They're going to do it tonight. Indy looks like shit and they don't have their starting running back. Then we're not even get to the Hines thing yet. And I switched them and I'm sitting there trying to figure out scenarios of how they could still win this game. And it really didn't, it wasn't going to happen. Right. Cause even if they scored a touchdown in overtime, it still would have been three unless they kicked the extra point, but they never kicked the extra point when they went in overtime.
Yeah. I don't think so.
It's a walk off. Right. But so originally I'm like, all right, cool. You know, the only way this is happening is they go to overtime and then Broncos score a touchdown. But then I realized that couldn't happen. I'm like, I don't want this game to go to overtime. Like, I don't want to watch this game anymore.
I took the Broncos because Indy hasn't even broken 20 points this year. The Broncos had a good defense. So I was like, this has got fucking
that's why
17-9 written all over it. And I took the fucking stupid Broncos with their 3.5.
There was a lot of money to be made on the under. The line was like 42.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Somebody expected this game to go like 25-17 or some shit.
I took the under, but I took the Broncos as well. So son of a bitch, bastard.
The interception. I mean, the play at the end where Hackett, I think, got bullied into doing that.
Yes, 100%. He didn't do it in the first game. We all called him out for it. And he's trying to fucking big dick Russ. And then he let him do this. He said, all right, fine, here's the ball in your hands.
Right.
And he throws it at the 1 yard line again.
Misses a wide open receiver.
Yes.
And it's everything about that. And then the play calling at the end of the game, you're in your 3 minute offense and they're throwing the ball into the fucking end zone.
Right.
People were trying to kill Nick Chubb for scoring that touchdown that let the Jets have the ball and the Jets then touchdown on say kick touchdown. The only way that the Colts were going to win that game is if either A, it went to overtime, or B, the Broncos scored a touchdown and then they went touchdown on say kick touchdown. So throwing in the end zone at all, even trying to score a touchdown, was a fucking bad idea. You had the ball. There was like maybe 3 minutes left. First down.
There's and been then no you touchdown out. All game. Yeah, you don't have faith in your offense in that scenario. You have faith in your defense. But you are milking the shit out of that clock, knowing that they're not going the length of the field with a minute left.
Right. And it's not even that. Just you just need the first down. You just need the first down. You just need to fucking let the clock run out. They lost that game twice.
Yeah. Unreal. Yeah, that's a bad head coach quarterback combination right there. Those guys must fucking hate each other.
There's like zero.
There's no plan.
It's like neither of them has confidence in the other one.
Yeah, or each other, or themselves at this point.
Right. What is going on in Russell's head right now, other than, do I still get to go to the Grammys?
That's right.
Broncos country, they sighed.
Yeah. What? La Broncos country denied. What do you think that ride home is like for Russell Wilson? Do you think he
a lot of Kirk Franklin?
Do you think he rides home alone? Do you think he drives? Do you think he has a driver? Do you think Ciara drives him home?
Broncos country, be kind.
Because if he's driving himself home, it's either silent and he's having a conversation with himself, or there's some kind of...
He's listening to Tony Robbins or something like that.
Right, right. There's inspirational speaking, maybe Christian radio.
That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of Kirk Franklin playing, a lot of like Christian hip hop. That's what he's listening to right now. I think that Russ is probably still sitting in front of his locker debating whether to film himself running the 2-minute drill against air with nobody else on the field after the game, just to show people how hard he wants them to think he's working. I think he's like actually debating, like posting TikToks right now.
Do you think he makes locker room speeches after the game?
He's the same guy that was like on the sideline going like, "Hey, everybody, come on. Let's get the chatter up. Help your defense. Yell run or pass. When you see run or pass, yell run or pass." And then they ignored him for a little bit. And he's like, "No, run or pass. Run or pass." And then he started doing it. He definitely made a locker room speech tonight. Definitely made a locker room speech tonight.
Think so?
And
if he said that's all my fault, sorry.
No. This is... I mean, Russ is the guy that blame gets diffused and credit needs to go to him. I don't think he was blaming. There's no way he was the one blaming anybody, but he is going, "Team loss, guys. Team loss." You know?
We win as a team, we lose as a team.
We can bounce back from this. Yeah. Oh yeah. We win as a team, we lose as a team. Yeah.
We ride together.
That's right.
Yeah. We'll hang together, or we'll either die separately or hang together or whatever the fucking, you know. It's like he's quoting something from like the Jetsons or something that like resonated with him. It's I got to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, that's got to be pretty cringeworthy as well.
Somebody tweeted out how much money the Broncos would owe in dead money if they cut him after this year. And it's absurd. It is crazy.
It's the entire cap. It's like 197 million.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But I mean, think about it. They should be given 50% off the dead money just for humiliating Russ like that. Just to give him the Carson Wentz treatment and ship him off somewhere for a third round pick.
Right. He may be that hated at the end of the season by everyone in that organization that may happen.
Oh, and with nowhere to go because he just signed a $250 million contract.
Right.
Like, did you guys see the picture of Melvin Gordon looking at him?
Yes.
No.
I mean, and Melvin Gordon has fumbled 5 times this season and still has the nerve to look at him like, "You motherfucker."
Yeah. 5 for 5.
Yeah. And like big fumbles.
Yeah.
Goal line stuff. Yeah. But yeah, still has the nerve to look at him and go.
No, that's a great picture. I had to hit that one with a retweet. I've not
seen that. Yeah. Nobody likes him. Nobody likes him. Nobody likes it.
It is one I bet he thinks he's like one barbecue away from like rallying the team together around him.
Yeah, he still thinks he's the thermostat.
If I can just he's sitting there, he's reading books about like how to break through to your work colleagues, you know. How to make friends and influence people. That's the book on tape that he's listening to right now.
Dude, he is. You see it, Trevor?
Yeah. <that's good. laughs> about to get you in the parking lot, son. He's got his Bob eye on his head.
You sleep with one eye open or you don't sleep at all.
Get your back in the shower.
Oh, my God.
And Russell Wilson's just looking there like, done, let's get my Gatorade.
That's right.
Russell Wilson is actively, you know, when somebody is trying not to look you in the eye.
Yeah.
They know you're looking at them.
Oh, hey, Melvin. What's up, dude?
Oh, man.
There is joy knowing that Russell Wilson is fucking hated.
And dude, the Colts are the second team in the Super Bowl era to win a game in which they scored zero touchdowns, threw multiple interceptions, and were sacked at least six times. They joined the 1973 Browns, who beat the Giants in Week 13, 12-10.
Sick.
That's crazy.
I like hearing the Giants in there.
The Brownies, yeah. I saw Browns. I was like, figures. I thought it'd be the other way around. Wow, dude. KJ Hamler was so wide open on that last play. That's why he's slamming his helmet.
I mean, to be fair, it would have been a very quick hit. Like that should have been his one, his option one.
Hamler was so pissed he stayed on the field and missed Nathaniel Hackett's post game locker room talk.
Really?
Yeah. Which takes elite awareness, by the way.
Yeah.
Do
I go in now and get chastised for slamming my helmet like an asshole, or I'll just stay out here and just look that mad?
Right, because yeah, you know Russ is going to pull him aside and be like, "Hey man, I wouldn't show you up like that."
Yeah, hey man, that's not the way we behave around here.
Right, it's a championship caliber football team.
Yeah, it's not the way champions act.
I would know. Richard Sherman carried me to a Super Bowl.
I know how to throw the ball on the 1 yard line.
Oh my God. I am.
But to have that very play happen, right? Like that is the same exact scenario where they've been running the ball well.
And there's
those two scenarios, like you said, twice they should have just run the ball.
And I think, cause I saw on Twitter and I haven't verified it, but I think the play, there's a pick play to the right and the Malcolm Butler interception happened on a pick play to the right. Mm-hmm. Like, so there's elements of the exact same play overlapping. And Russ didn't even look to the right.
Well, okay, how about this? Because I believe the Malcolm Butler play was a quick slant. And so he's probably just looking completely away from that quick slant.
Right, right.
He knows that's a mistake.
he is the dog that has stepped on the hot sewer plate on the road. And he's like, I'm never doing that again.
I'm now walking through the kitchen backwards.
Right. Guys, I can't believe I have to do this. But I have to cut this short because my kid is still not asleep and he's really angry about it right now.
Oh yeah. Uh-oh.
But thank you for this. This has been delightful.
It's glorious.
Let Russ cook, dude. I mean, yeah.
Chef Boyardee, motherfucker.
God, I'm gonna be up till 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, I might post another 35 memes, but I do have to run right now.
All right.
Appreciate you guys.
Yep.
All right.
Later. Best of luck, sir.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.